You're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week and standout with me, Ian O'Connell, is ex-Kerry footballer Darren O'Sullivan. Darren was born in London, and while still in London, he began his underage football career with three Conaill Gaels. After moving to Kerry in the late 1990s, Darren immediately joined the local Glenbeigh Glencar club, while he also lined out with the mid-Kerry divisional side. Later in 2005, O'Sullivan joined the Kerry senior football panel. He was a member of the Kerry inter-county team from 2005 until 2018. O'Sullivan captained Kerry to All-Ireland glory and lifted the Sam Maguire in 2009. Sit back and enjoy the show. Now, we had a great response to last week's programme with Lindsay Bennett. Lindsay herself would be anxious to ensure that her experience wouldn't put any other women off going for regular smear tests. Details of how to book a smear test are available on the HSE website, and the HSE says what continues to be important for the women they care for in screening is that they receive their results on time and that they can be reassured that the laboratories being used meet quality assured standards. All right, Darren, thanks a million for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
No bother. Delighted to be here.
I suppose we'll bring it back to the... with all my guests, I kind of bring it back to the very start. You were born over in England, I believe, were you?
Yeah, I was in London till I was 12. And when I came back, I think I had the option of going to Glenbeigh National School or into the Carnegie for the last couple of months of the year with the intention of just settling in. So I did that. I went into the Carnegie instead of going to national school. So I suppose the plus side of that was I didn't have to do Irish, which was great at the time until I had to make a speech in Irish in 2009.
Nine, yeah.
And yeah. And do you know what? It's something I always regretted after. No, a lot of my friends did it. Obviously, from when they start the national school and they still can't speak it. So I probably wouldn't have been much good at it anyway. But it is something I would have liked to have done, to be fair, the more I think about it now.
You did you like school when you were growing up? Or I know myself,
it's a tough one. Like to be fair, I didn't. I wasn't studious. I didn't have the concentration level for it, to be honest. I was a bit of a messer, innocent messing. No, I was never in any trouble or anything like that. It was all silly stuff, talking and messing and, you know, that old saying, boys will be boys, you know, kind of concentration level. But I enjoyed the crack out of it. And, you know, even the 5 or 10 minutes between classes when you're supposed to be making your way to the next class, you'd always find some old bit of crack to have along the way. And through all the lads you'd meet, even now in the having the bar restaurant, I had a lad down recently. I hadn't seen him in 15 years, but we were in the same year in school. He came back from Kiel with his young lad for the communion. So it's just nice to be able to catch up with fellas and stuff like that. But I wasn't bad at it, but like that, like everything, I think I can always remember the report cards. Can do better, needs to concentrate more. Yeah.
Great potential, but he could do better. I was the same, I suppose. I was a messer, but I never caused trouble. You know, it was all like yourself stuff.
Innocent fun.
You have to have that as well, don't you, in life?
I think especially nowadays, you get a bit older, you know, the years do fly by and you realize, you know, if you're not enjoying it, even with work and everything else, everything does become serious and you get bogged down by the small things. And it's something I'm 36 now and I still haven't come to terms with that work-life sports balance to something you'll always have to work on, I think. And, you know, even making time for yourself there to do nothing, have a lazy day, a lazy evening, meet up with friends, or sometimes it's just sit on your own and watch Netflix or watch anything on TV. So, I do think people get bogged down with, especially to young lads now and young lads and girls, and the exams are coming up, and with the options that people have now, it's not all about exams and doing well, because there's so many different routes and career paths you can take and
back doors and everything these days.
And like, you see people even after they get their degree in a certain field and they might go into it for a year or two and go, this isn't for me, and they go doing something totally different. So it's important, I think, just kind of reinforcing that to people that it's not always clear cut, it's not always black and white.
Exactly. You, before football was the main thing, were you into other sports? I know you were way, you good potential in soccer. You were with QPR for, was it 2 years or so?
Yeah, I was there about 2 years, and I suppose over in London, soccer was the main game. I did play Gaelic football over with a Donegal team, Tyr Conaill Gaels, but soccer was my thing over, and I loved it. Even in 98, a couple of months before the World Cup, I went to Paris playing soccer with the district league. So they brought two teams over, and we played against the likes of Lyon and a couple of French teams, and it was a great experience. And to be honest, at that age, you know, you're making strides and you're doing well and you're progressing and you're thinking, this is the way it's going to be for me. I'll just keep working hard and keep going step by step. I honestly believe that's the way I was going to go.
Was the one of your parents that kind of encouraged you to go into the football, or was it just a...
No, I'd say it was a case of whenever I used to come back, like when we were living in London, we used to be home to Glenbey every midterm, summer, Easter, winter, long weekend. So when I was back, I used to play with the club here, and a lot of the skills are very transferable, and I was fast, so it gave me a bit of a leg up. And I can't remember what the exact reason, or I remember going down with another buddy of mine over in London, Liam Dwyer, his father was a Dub, and we went down, and I took to it like a duck to water. He didn't really take to it too much, and he packed it in, but I loved it. And yeah, I'm still actually friendly with the trainer from the team over in Tyr Conaill Gaels, and with the family over there. So yeah, just like that, took to it, loved the physicality, I think, of it as well. No, it took me a while to get out of the habit of actually putting the ball on the ground and trying to dribble it soccer style, but no, just loved it. I played rugby over in England as well. Anything, any sport, athletics, I would have watched anything as well at the time. So sport was always my thing.
Do you ever regret not prolonging your soccer career as opposed to the transition over to football? Do you ever look back on it now, or do you just think of the glory?
No, I wouldn't. I'd never think, because like, to be honest, I probably at the time I was thinking, geez, a couple of years now I'll be in the Premiership and I'll have all the sports cars and whatever else. But you know, as you get older, you know, it's so cutthroat and it's so hard to make it in that field. I know I wouldn't have made it in that field. But the only regret, I did have a meeting with Munster in 2006, and I was supposed to go playing rugby. And not that it's a regret, because I loved my career at Kerry, but there's always the what ifs. As you were thinking, maybe should I? And I was actually more or less done deal, and I was going signing with Dolphin in Cork, just to, that'd be my club. And I think an interview went out more or less saying that I was taking a break from football, which wasn't my plan. It was a case of, can I juggle both in the off season of the GA and see how it goes? And
an interview came, kind of make a big spin out of it, don't they?
Well, yeah, I don't even know what it means. I think it was someone in Dolphin who got a bit carried away with themselves and maybe thought, oh, I'll do a few interviews here. And I was up in Cork in college at the time, and I remember seeing it going, oh, geez, I don't want this kind of aggro at the moment. And I kind of pulled the plug on it. But now, not saying I would have made it with Munster or anything, but there was things being put in place for me to give it a go. So that's one of the, I wouldn't say a regret, but it's a what if, and you always kind of wonder what would have happened if I had gone at it for a while.
Hindsight.
Yeah.
When you were coming into the football scene and stuff, there was back where Glenbay, Glencar, down around, I suppose, Long Rangers and stuff, there was big, I suppose there was big names around that time on club and county. Was there anyone, I suppose, like the likes of Mike Frank Russell and stuff, was there anyone you looked up to that you tried kind of idolise when you were getting into GA?
I suppose the thing that got me, especially coming over and being young and really buying into the Kerry tradition and learning about it, was I found it fascinating that Mike Frank Russell and the Hassetts and John Sheehan were only in the town next door in Clarendon, that if I was over at school, I could see them walking up the street. Because I'd be seeing them on TV, and like it took a bit of a while to transition to that's the way it is here. My parents had a nursing home in Glenbeigh, and Maurice Fitzgerald used to call in to see one of the patients. And I'm sure, like, it was Maurice Fitzgerald, my jaw used to be hitting the ground. So, like, I used to look, and, like, I suppose I was repeating my leaving cert when I joined the panel, and my leaving cert, it went fine, grand, nothing special, definitely nothing special, but I'd concentrated more on the Kerry minors, and it was, I'll go back and repeat the leaving cert next year. There's no panic, and I'll concentrate on that. I'm overage for the school football. And sure, I was brought in with the seniors then, and the first training session was above. The Carnegie had an AstroTurf pitch when there wasn't many of them around, and we were training there before, I think it was November, maybe December, I can't remember. But I took the day off school anyway, to make sure I was fresh for training. And I remember driving up the drive in my old boy's Jeep, and the teachers were pulling me over, going, "You weren't at school today." And I was like, "Oh, geez, I wasn't feeling great today." And they're like, "Where are you going now?" I was like, "Oh, I'm going training for Kerry." But I remember just going into the dressing room. It was my PE dressing room, and you had all the star names, and them boys had just won the All Ireland 2004. So the majority of them were there, the Shays, Moynihan, and all these legends. And I was just saying, I know my depth here, but I stayed quiet and I just plowed on with it.
I know it must have been unreal, like at a young age, being amongst the shoulders of all them kind of big names and stuff. I suppose, was there a certain point that it clicked with you that you said, right, the GAA is for me and I'm gonna pursue my goal to get into the green and gold jersey?
I suppose, when I moved over, obviously I was playing a bit of soccer with Killorglin, and it became more about fun. It's just a bit of crack, something different. And like I said, I kind of took to the GA. I was lucky enough that I was quite good early days, so I was getting picked for the Mid Kerry team, and then I was being called up to Kerry South, and then you get to Kerry South under 16s. And I suppose I was always playing because Glenbeigh, we didn't have big numbers, and I suppose we weren't going great at the time. I was playing all the age groups. I remember when I was 16, I would have been playing minors and under 21s. I remember playing Kerry South under 16s, and I was playing for the Mid Kerry minors and the Mid Kerry the 21s in the same year. And so there was no talk of burnout back then either. And I think
Is it
it
hard to
actually,
balance it?
you know what? I don't remember ever finding it hard.
Really?
I didn't have much else going on, only sports. So it was a case of 9 to 4 you were in school, and then all the other hours were just like that, because I was playing so many games. I don't even remember training a whole pile, because there was games, and I was doing what I loved doing. And even the days that we didn't have a game, I was probably in the football pitch anyway, because that was kind of where we hung out. We're either kicking ball in the pitch in Glenbeigh or off the church gate. So no, I remember I was talking to, because there's so many young lads at the moment, obviously with my own club and other clubs that are out injured, and I'm like going, how are they all injured? Like, and they're like,
Right.
"Oh, it's the load." And I'm there, you don't know nothing about load. Now, someone would say your career was hampered by injuries, but I went 10 years playing in the county without missing a game. And look, it caught me in the end. But I think that came down to knowledge of how to recuperate after injuries and stuff like that. Maybe a bit of
Can you see a big difference between then and now and say recovery and the likes of ice baths and all? It must have, and even strength and conditioning and stuff. Have you seen it?
Huge. The knowledge that, like, I think, and there's oftentimes people be like, "Would you go back?" And I'd be like, "No, I'm happy enough with what I've done or whatever." But I love if I was starting now, like, you've such a leg up. It's just everything is there. Everything is there. The knowledge is there. Nutrition, strength and conditioning, recovery, even the focus on balance. And I think it's a big thing, especially with the Gaelic Players Association. It's great to have great players, but they want to have great people, because your career can be short. And I suppose when I was there, I was all consumed. It was all about Kerry, and that was my thing. If Kerry's not number one, get out. You have to focus all your energy on Kerry. But maybe it was a bit naive, maybe it was two tunnel vision, because there's a lot more going on. You need to get that balance, because if you're happy outside of football, you'll carry it into your football. It's always easier. But it's important to focus on you as well, and even the professional side of things and the personal side of things, and making time for yourself. And it's probably something that the early part of my career, I didn't even think about it. It was just about going from one trend to the next and making sure. And I suppose that was the case. I was young. I was playing with all these legends. And I just wanted to impress, whether that was Tuesday or Thursday or the weekend. Or when we did start doing the gym work, it was a case of, right, you're small, but make sure they know you're tough enough to be able to lift whatever. So I was always trying to not prove myself, but just keep pushing myself. But I think nowadays, I think if I went back now, I do think it'll be easier in terms of not the load. No, there is a lot of training and there's a lot of commitments, but in terms of your knowledge, and I think players are tougher now, they're able to say, no, I'm not able for today. I'm not feeling it or whatever. Whereas back then it was a case of, if you're tired, you drive on, you just get on with it. So
in sports psychology and stuff in football these days, and you know, the science behind it, even technology and science all over in life, you see the things on either side of my head.
Yeah.
That's how I drive my chair. There's sensors. Mm. And the same goes for football. The scientific, it's down to a T, and it's only better it's going to be getting. When you were called up to the Kerry Miners, I remember hearing in an interview, you had 2 years with them, was it?
Yeah.
You're more comfortable after being through the first year.
Well, my first year didn't go as I would have hoped. So, there was no one around the place. And I suppose there was an expectation that I'd get on, but I struggled to get on the squad. And I didn't get on the squad until the quarterfinal. And that was my first time on the squad. So, I didn't get on to any of the games before the Munster Championship and the Munster Final. Got on the 24, I think it was, for the quarterfinal against Mayo. And I came on for 5 minutes, did the whole pile, but came on, and I was on the squad for the semi-final, and I came on and we lost that. But the following year, I suppose there was a bit of expectation that I was there the year before, but I'd been through all the hard stuff. You know, I got my feet under the table in terms of the training. The training was a different level. Like, I'm my good year minor, I don't think there was a training session where I didn't get sick.
Go away.
I was a demon for it anyway. I'm still the same. I hate the long running and stuff, but we had Sean Ganey from Dingle, who was brilliant, and it was so professional, but the training was so hard. And you know, when you're not used to it, I used to be constantly, any hard training, I was on my hands and knees at the end of training.
Who were you under that time, Darren?
My first year was Pat Shea, and he was another tough taskmaster, but Sean Ganey from Dingle, he'd be Paul and Mikey's uncle.
He was the second year. Do you know, I remember when you were playing, and everybody does, even on the commentary there, you'd hear Ambrose and Timmy, Darren O'Sullivan, he's on his bike running through. You were obviously known for having serious pace and stuff. Did you, because I even see it with some of the lads, my friends they're very fast. Did you feel, I remember against Tyrone, did you feel targeted because you had so much pace?
Yeah, I suppose, I definitely felt targeted after. I think there was seven or eight of them that got booked the same day for taking me down. But it gave me a confidence. I knew if I got the ball that I'd be able to outrun 99% of players. Even though I wasn't tall, I was physically quite strong. And I knew I'd be able to, I suppose all the years I played with all the older age groups playing for Glenbay, I was toughened from it. I was always playing with lads 2, 3, 4 years older than me, so I was used to getting hit and just getting up.
That's good in a way, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I had no choice at the time but to learn. I think when you're young as well, you're trying to impress the older lads, so I get hit, maybe want to stay down and cry, but I just have to get up because I wouldn't want to give them the satisfaction of seeing me crying or hurt. So you just get up and you get on with it, and it built a resilience, it built a toughness, kind of doggedness that. You know, I was the small dog with the loud bark kind of thing. But I think the Tyrone manager after the minor final came out, I had long blondy hair at the time as well. What was going through my head, I don't know. But the hair, it was all in at the time. There was highlights in it and everything. But I remember him giving an interview and he was on about me and the long blonde hair and his face. And we'll have to watch him and all this stuff, and they watched me all right. They like that. I suppose I wasn't used to that level of cynicism and that ruthlessness that they had. But look, it's another lesson along the way. And I always feel that even though I'd love to win a minor medal, sometimes losing, like everyone says, you learn a lot more from it. And at a young age, I definitely think it's important to lose. Because for me, it added a bit more motivation. You know, I wanted to get back to Croke Park and I wanted to experience winning. And I was lucky enough to get back the following year with Kerry, play Tyrone again, but lose again. So, you know, it built a toughness inside me, you know, that you can cope with defeat and setbacks.
It's and even in sports, like when you do lose and stuff, that sends for you for your life going forward, you know, in everyday life, learning how to lose, and you're not going to get what you want every time. Running onto the pitch that time for your I suppose your debut, your first time playing in Croke Park, looking around, because I remember I played there with my club Spa. We were under 14 or 16, and I remember thinking I was the best thing since half size 10. What was that feeling like going through? I suppose we'll say when you were with the seniors, I remember hearing that you, when you got called down, you were biting the inside of your lip because you didn't want, you knew the cameras would be on you, you didn't want to be laughing.
Yeah, like I suppose I was 18 when I was in with Kerry, and I think I just turned 19 a few months when the All-Ireland series started, and the quarterfinal we were playing Mayo, and I was told, you know, be ready. You're going to be seeing action. I was going well, and we beat Mayo well, and I didn't get brought on. And Jack sent me after, like, a bit of man management. He was there, look, that game was won. I had to keep other fellas in the panel happy, you know, make sure training's good for next week. I said, fine, grand. I was a child. I wasn't going to be arguing or throwing the ties out of the pram. The semi-final came. We played Cork, and we won that comfortably enough as well. And he told me beforehand, be ready. You'll be coming on. And then it was a case of, look, don't know, that was one, Andy, there was no point wasting you in that game. We'll keep you in secret or whatever it was. And then the final, he was there, be ready, you'll be coming on. And I think my response was, oh, yeah, come on. Just, and I was like, oh, geez, I shouldn't have said that. But he was like, no, you'll be coming on this game. So when he calmed me down, it was weird. I didn't feel pressure. It was just excitement. I was like a dog with a toy. Just give me the ball. Leave me run. And I think I had this.
That time, Darren.
That was Tyrone in 2005 All-Ireland final. So like I had experience with Tyrone from the year before. And I just looked at him. They were obviously big, strong. And I just went, I'm faster than every one of these. And I was just like, give me the ball and leave me go at him. I was just excited. I just wanted the ball. I remember the first touch I got, it was over by the Q's extend, and I fumbled it kind of out in front of myself with the bit of the nerves kicked in. I was like, oh, I have the ball now. And I won a free or two. And I remember I had no long hair, but I had a bit of a spiky mohawk thing at the time. And we got a 45 and I walked in, and the goalie, Paslin Connell, looks down at me. He looked like he was about 8 foot. And he looks down at me, he just starts laughing. And I'm like, what's he laughing at? And he squishes down my mohawk.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I just look up at him. I won't say what I said, like, but he's just laughing at me as if saying, like, you little twerp, go away. But I didn't have any nerves coming on. It was excitement, just maybe a bit of confidence too from the management and the fact that they're bringing you on all and fine when they're losing, so they need you. And I felt like I always felt that Croke Park was my pitch. It suited me. I felt comfortable there. And like that, it was a case of you're playing football for a reason, to be in these games, in these occasions, in this stadium. Don't leave it pass you by. Like, you're not playing football for the small, like, you have to play the small game, but it's to get to these points. And when you're there, you have to enjoy it and back yourself because you're there for a reason. You're there because you're good enough.
Coming off the bench there for a while, like, you were known as the super sub. When you were so young, that must have kind of, I suppose, not played in your mind, but you must have felt like, because obviously you were going to back yourself. Did you kind of say in your own head, I'm not a super sub, like, I have a bigger role than that?
Yeah, like it was one of them ones where, like I said, I don't have very few regrets about my career. There are times I think I could have done something different, but I played the role. I think if Kerry weren't as successful and we weren't doing what we were doing and I didn't feel valued, I may have gone up to Jack and said, hi, I'm not doing this. I'm playing well enough to be given my chance to start.
He's rather straight, Jack, is he? Like,
Yeah, he's
what is
like,
it?
I have a great time from get on grand with him, get on well, be straight. There's no bluffing. He will tell you straight out. And it was a case of you're doing a role. I felt appreciated by the manager. I felt appreciated by the team. And it was always kind of not put to me that we have a starting 16, that your role coming off is as important as the boys that are starting. But it was kind of like the way the rugby was. You had finishers, and it wasn't a case of GA went down that route after, but that was always the way it was. And I think the fact that we were winning and the players that were on ahead of me, they were still heroes of mine. And how was I supposed to say, well, I should be on wing forward or corner forward instead of this fella when they were heroes of mine? So now, as I got a bit older, you'd say, well, I know you'd be a bit tougher, but I was never one for throwing the ties out of the pram or. I always found it disrespectful that if I was given out about not starting, I was more or less saying one of my teammates who's putting themselves through the same stuff I am isn't good enough to start. So I never wanted to rock the boat like that. No, there was times I probably should have done it. I know it was funny under Pat Shea, we got well now, and I enjoy Pat, and I have massive respect for him. He's a brilliant coach, and I personally I get on well with him. I remember I wasn't a big fan of him when he was the manager because. 2008 when Paul got suspended, I just assumed your first sub on all the time, Paul's going to be gone for a while, you're going to get your chance. I was more or less told, look, you're not going to be coming in there,
Boy.
more or less, no matter what you do. And that was the one time I think I was like going, oh, F this, what am I doing this for? And I remember getting the hump a few times, because to training after a match, the starters will be doing nothing, playing a bit of soccer, messing around, and the subs would always have to go running. And I started going, oh, like I came on and changed the game, and now I'm being tortured here with the. That was the only thing that used to get me. But I remember the late 2008. I felt that was the one time I was like going, no, this I should be on this team. Now, whether I was doing the job coming off the bench or not, I should have been starting. But obviously, Jack came back in 09 and. I got in there eventually to start. I suppose I could see it from the management point of view is that we had somebody on the bench who could do. I always felt I could do something that nobody else in the panel could do coming off the bench. So that gave me a sense of purpose, I suppose.
You mentioned 09 there moving on, I suppose it's probably a toss-up between one of the best moments of your career, the 09 All-Ireland final. Did you were captain that year, weren't you? What was that like? That must have been a huge, because I did you were so young, did you feel a big amount of pressure, or did the selectors or manager ring you and say, it's not a big thing at such a young age? Or did you feel pressure?
No, I suppose there was a sense of pressure because obviously I felt you're captain, oh, so you should be on, like you have to be on. But it was a case that Jack always said, if you want to talk in the dressing room, talk. But I never felt the need. Like we had so many leaders in that dressing room, legends. And it was a case of, if you want to talk, talk. But other than that, just concentrate on doing your thing. The fact that, look, there was myself, Dunica, Sean Sullivan, and Aidan O'Shea. So we had four McCary lads on the panel. And the fact that he chose Milltown Castlemaine actually nominated me as well, and Jack. Because Milltown had won the Mid-Kerry Championship. So the fact that they had kind of gone with me
You
at
must have had great
22.
respect for them at that stage, did you?
Yeah, like I was 20. I was still a kid. Now I'd been around, I was going into my fifth season, but I was still a child. So that gave me a bit of confidence. And then, look, obviously, when you get further down the year, and always the expectation is with Kerry, because since I've been there 5, 6, 7, 8, we'd been in our finals for 2009. It was never going to be any different in my head. We'd be in our make sure you're on. And we weren't, we had a good league. We won the league. So I got to climb the steps for the league final, played well in the league. And then, of course, championship came around. I always found that you put so much into league. Sometimes by June, May, June, I was actually hitting a bit of a lull. You used to get very tired, just physically, mentally, just draining. To always go through a couple of weeks where, whereas some of the older lads were able to, they had it, they were peaking at the right time. Whereas I was, I have to make an impression every game. So everything was 100 miles an hour, Tuesday training, in the gym, Wednesday training. Well, I had to be top of the ground, buzzing. And remember, it happened a lot of times. You'd go through a couple of weeks, maybe around the May, June time, where other fellas were more experienced and they were coming into their own. I was actually getting a bit of a lull. So we lost the Munster final and then the qualifier started and I lost my place, form, tiredness, whatever it was. And then we had the episode with Tomás and Cullum where they went for their few pints and got dropped. And I came into the team against Antrim and did okay and kept my place after that. I remember played Dublin and I had 3 points got in the first half and we actually railroaded them. And then like that started obviously because they weren't going to change the team for the semi-final against Meath and we got 1-1 in that game. I actually scored a penalty, probably the worst penalty you'll ever see, where I slipped and kicked it from my left foot off my right foot. And
Lampard,
John Terry, wouldn't he?
John Terry, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. But my one went in, luckily, but I always remember I went back into corner forward and the corner back actually just said, laughing, goes, good penalty. But I remember going back to Clarny after that night, obviously, we're in All-Ireland final, and I thought I was getting picked and I had pats in the back. I got nothing but abuse because everybody had Gooch for first goal, and he didn't take the penalty because his groin was at him. And like that, Jack had come up to me, and even the fact that he was asking me to take it gave me confidence. But of course, I said yes, thinking, or we'll hardly get a penalty. And I don't think I'd even touched the ball before the penalty came. But I remember we won the semi-final, and Jack actually just said to me, he goes, this is 3 weeks open final. Don't be worrying about training and your place. You're going to be starting. And I just went,
weight off your shoulders.
Oh, huge. Because Donaghy had been injured as well. So, like, obviously, Kieran was a huge player.
Yeah.
He'd a player of the year under his belt. He'd all stars. He was a massive influence in the dressing room, good buddy of mine as well. But I was thinking, oh, the easy option now will be put him in and oh darn, the impact's up again. And but no, he told me 3 weeks out, like, don't be worrying about it. You're going well, you're gonna be playing. So yeah, that obviously helped. But Jack had a good way about him, even though he's fairly straight, maybe raw, but he says it as it is. He's type manager I always enjoyed.
I was watching back stuff there the last day on YouTube in the Sigurdsson Cup, I think it was semi-final. You brought out the little back heel to keep the ball in. And in the game in Croker, you brought the back heel out to score. That was obviously a huge thing at the time. The whole place was talking about it. Was that kind of last second reaction or what was it?
They're just instincts. Like if we were training, even now, a lot of time when I go training, probably doing more soccer flicks and tricks than I would be football, to be fair. There was a stage with Kerry and my warm-up actually involved dribbling the ball on the ground and doing little Cruyff turns and just shimmying in and out. I just found it was good for my body. Change direction, just my coordination. I just enjoyed it. I actually prefer soccer warm-ups. I always found the GA warm-ups are mental intense. You do kilometers there, back and forth, sprinting it, whereas I needed something a bit slower, ease the body into it, and then just do a couple of explosions and I was good to go. The one against in the Sigurdsson Cup, it actually went through James McCarthy's legs as well. Right on the sideline. So it was a big cheer for it. And the goal, it was just a bad pass by Sheehan. He always says he meant it, but it was just a bad pass by Sheehan, and it was an instinct, a reaction. The only pity about it was there was hardly anyone in Croke Park and nobody knew what happened.
Go away.
So everyone's looking up in the big screen to see it. And I wanted to see it. And I was trying not to look up in the big screen. And I think it was Galvin. I think it was Galvin that came up to me. I think it was even right after the game. And he goes, oh, I wish I did that. And just started laughing. Like that. It was instinct. And that's why I'd always say to people as well, that that's the joys of playing other sports growing up. You still carry them instincts. Yeah, even the likes of Donaghy with basketball and fellas different sports. So like that, I would have always had no problem putting the ball on the ground in a match, because I would have trusted I had the skill set to do something to give myself an extra yard or whatever.
No, it kind of comes in. What would be your favorite sporting moment? And before you say, like, I think it's either going to be the 09 final or when junior club with the club. Would it be between the two of them, or would there be other ones that you think?
There's other ones. To be fair, 2011 for me was probably my best year in terms of football, standard of football, consistency, and obviously probably the lowest point in my career, losing the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
That it's still, to this day, I find it hard to understand. We were just so good at finishing them games, but we didn't. The goal Gooch got in that game, I set it up, and it's actually one of my favourite goals for Kerry, even though I didn't score it. But later on that year, it was a roller coaster of a year, actually. I got selected to go on the international rules, but I had to decline it because me Kerry were in the county final against Crokes. And so I obviously stayed around, and we got beat well by the Crokes. And later that year, then we won a Mid Kerry Championship, and it was the first in 36 years for the club. And still to this day, like, that's one of my favourite memories, sporting memories. And Mid Kerry Championship for me is the most important competition I play with Glenbe above anything.
To be able to look back, because club football means so much to people. It's kind of where everything starts off. Then you get into the county, and I suppose you kind of finish off your career back at club as well. Like
when I started when I was in with the Glenbe and the seniors, we were Division 5. We were playing novice championship. Like, I have a novice shield, a novice championship, a junior shield, a junior championship. And so we started at the bottom, and then we went a number of years up in Division 1. Even the year Dr. Crokes won their All Ireland, we beat them that year.
So
we were one of the only teams to beat him that year. So, like, there are small things, and like, people outside of Kerry would talk to me about football, and I'd always go, my favourite competition is the Mid Kerry Championship. And they'd be like, what's that? And I'd prefer that over any intermediate or junior. Like, the junior was great, and obviously you get to go on, but and it was special to go to Croke Park with all the club players and give them an opportunity to go to Croke Park. But no, for me, Mid Kerry Championship. So I think 2011. So, you know, we beat Lone Rangers in the final.
And, that was sweet as well.
Yeah, like, we had lost the final in 2006 to them. It was 5 or 6. And I mean, lost it. They hammered us.
Go ahead.
And I was young. I remember getting a dead leg very early in the game, intentionally as well. And I strapped it up and played away, but I was hobbling, and I was useless.
Pogba against Liverpool.
Yeah, only I stayed on. But yeah, we lost it. And I remember bad as well, and they didn't take any of the marquee names off, like, and we were Division 5, as like I said, and it always stuck with me, and they actually haven't won it since. I hope they don't win until after I retire anyway, but yeah, like that, beating a team like Lone Rangers that still had the Mike Franks, the Hassett fellas who I respected and was lucky enough to play with and become friends with as well. So, like, beating a team of the stature of Lone Rangers obviously made it that a bit sweeter. Not like we had grown men on the pitch crying. You know, we had massive club players here in Glenbe, huge stalwarts of the club who never got to win a Mid Kerry Championship. So I understood what it meant. I still think some of the younger lads, because they've come in since and they've won a couple of medals, they don't really
realize.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I was going finishing up this year, and one of the reasons I decided to come, like, we obviously had injuries and short players, but just the thought of being able to maybe win another Mid Kerry Championship was why I came back. People on about the intermediate and stuff, and I was like, "Oh, it's a Mid Kerry Championship for me."
Sacrifice as a county player, because it's a huge, huge commitment. I suppose it's 4 or 5 nights a week, training and meetings and all that. Have you? I suppose most players have, but do you know, missing, I suppose, family occasions and maybe weddings or what, be it anything like that. That's obviously one side of it. That's hard, is it?
Yeah, look, you obviously miss out on a lot of stuff, but I suppose it'll be a lot harder if you weren't successful, and we were very successful. And I was fortunate with the group that I was with. Obviously, they're all winners. We always had a lot of common, but I got on with everyone. I don't think there was any player that I played with I didn't get on with. most of my closest friends off the field became the Kerry lads. Kieran O'Leary's probably my best friend. He was my best man at my wedding. He's the godfather to my child. Colm Gooch was my groomsman. Donaghy, I still talk to on a regular basis. Owen Brosnan, me, Kieran, Colm, and Owen go on holidays. Well, not in a couple of years now because of COVID. But you know, Cillian Young, Brian Sheehan, you know, like I'm definitely forgetting the fellas. Padraig Reedy, who went from minors to seniors with. You know, I'm forgetting a rake of fellas now, but they all became not my teammates, they're my mates. So we were all going through the same things, like that. David Moore and Tommy Walsh, Barry John. Like these fellas, I'm still texting them every more or less most days of the week. Now, obviously, I try to leave David alone these days, he really concentrate and win another All Ireland. But yeah, so like I didn't, and like I said, we were successful. So we were going on holidays at the end of the year all together. So it was like every year you put in the effort together and we're going to get a big friendship holiday, like, you know. So we'd all go and we saw the world. No, so look, you miss out on stuff, all right, but. And sometimes you'd be there going, oh, I wish I could do this, wish I could do that. But not like what we got to experience, you couldn't replicate it or find it. You know, you just build friendship memories. Like I remember hearing someone saying, you never look back on your medals after you finish. So I thought that's the time you do it. And I don't look at them at all.
Memories.
Memories. And it's not about matches. I couldn't tell you about most of the matches. Most of them are blurred into one. Very few of them. I'm a disaster like that. People forget about moments and matches, and I remember very few. But it's normally the training session. Like there's, I always have this one really vivid memory. It was back in the days we used to go to Portugal and a training camp, and they used to be torture, but it used to be great crack and used to be brilliant. We were doing it was back when the tackle bags were a big thing for a while, and I always remember in a group, and it's quite serious. We're training away and you come running out to the 21 and you pump your man with the tackle bag, and Tomas is holding the tackle bag and Mark comes out and he just takes a sidestep away from him and Mark goes flying. And it was an early morning session, so the ground is really slippy and dewy, like, and
Wake up
he just
call.
goes, yeah, he goes sliding and Mark gets up and he's just so thick and cranky. But Tomas is bent over laughing and we're bent over, our group are in knots laughing. And it's silly things like that, because it's amazing the dressing room when you're a county player, because you're so serious in public and you're doing your proper job. The messing that goes on and the crack and, you know, it's all them little silly things.
How has fatherhood changed you with your baby? It was just after you retired from county football a few weeks beforehand, wasn't it? How has that changed you? Because that's obviously if that goes above and beyond any football, I presume.
Like she's 3.5 now, because and people are going, how is she 3.5? Like, sure, we didn't see anyone for 2 years with COVID hardly, but it definitely softens you. Like it definitely brings out a different side of you. I would have been all described as a bit of a stone in terms of my emotions. But yeah, like that, she's at a great age now where she's just great crack and just
She
funny.
really
I bought she do, and everything's a race, so I think she's taken after me. She's and she doesn't like to lose.
Very good. Darren, come here. Thanks so much for hopping on me. I really enjoyed that. No, you're a sound man, and it's great to be able to look back on all the memories and stuff. And best of luck with the future, whatever it holds.
No water. No bother, Ian. I was delighted to come on. Thanks for asking me. All right. Look after yourself.
All right. Thanks a million, Darren. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show and I appreciate you tuning in. If you've any suggestions, questions, or requests for next week's show, you can drop me a message on my Instagram, enoconnell321, through my Twitter, enoconnell00, or drop me an email on my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I hope you're all having a great week. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.